This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Italian voters asked for less pain and more spending. How will the new prime minister balance the books? And we'll talk about why it's not the glass ceiling companies should be looking at. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Italy's new prime minister, Giuseppe Conte, faces a second vote of confidence in the lower house today after last week's turmoil when markets reacted with alarm to the possibility of Italy leaving the euro. Investors are closely watching Mr. Conte's policy decisions. He's already spelled out anti-austerity measures, so no cuts to benefits and a flat tax on individuals and companies. But could all this spending worsen Italy's major debt problem? Greg Swenson is a partner at Brigg McCann. Adam.
Hopefully we see more economic growth and unleashing the economy rather than increasing benefits, which isn't sustainable and it doesn't help. It's a short-term cure and perhaps it wins elections, promising people things. So we saw this in the States with Trump. He has not addressed entitlement reform. Most conservatives are upset with that and government spending is still completely out of hand in both places. So hopefully as the economy is unleashed, tax receipts actually go up.
Where should Italy be spending in order to boost the economy?
I don't think they should be spending at all. I mean, the idea is keep the money in the private sector. The market is always much more efficient at allocating capital as opposed to government spending.
What could the government be doing that would help that economy to grow naturally?
A couple of things. One is what they have proposed, which is lowering taxes. In this case, they're advocating a flat tax. That's fantastic. That will work. The second thing they can do is reduce regulation, which is very, very difficult in Italy. And related to regulation are, and they've done this in France, or at least they're trying to do it in France, is relax the labor laws. It's impossible to fire someone in Italy, which makes it hard to hire people. And that kind of regulation is very anti-growth. And ultimately, the voters lose patience and they basically reject the status quo.
With the new government likely to win the confidence motion in the lower house, do you think it's still going to put them on a collision course with their European partners?
There's going to be some difficulty, but I think they've come off some of the Euroscepticism. If they stick to the really positive governing principles, which would be unleashing the economy, I think that will work much better than blaming. Now, what happens in a lot of these populist situations, as the people are earning less or they're unemployed, they tend to scapegoat immigrants or they try to blame the government, the elites. The best way to remedy that is to unleash growth rather than blaming someone.
Greg Swenson there. Let's do the numbers. India raised rates for the first time in 4 years today in a surprise move. It cited concerns about higher inflation from rising oil prices and currency depreciation as reasons. Meanwhile, retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. from Mexico go into effect today. America's neighbor imposed tariffs on goods including pork, cheese, apples, potatoes, as well as steel. The boss of Qatar Airways has apologized after saying at a meeting of international air travel associations yesterday that his company was led by a man because, quote, it is a very challenging position. Well, one of the women at that meeting was Yvonne Macallo, the CEO of Rwanda Air.
That's the one thing that really stood out for me when I got to this gathering, the sheer underrepresentation of women. One of the things I'd like to focus on in Rwanda Air is having more women in the aviation industry, right from the pilots to the engineers to management. So that's a big focus because Rwanda is very good in terms of gender empowerment. 64% of our parliamentarians are women. Over 40% of cabinet members are women. So that needs to be reflected in the corporate sector as well in Rwanda.
Now, in the UK this week, PricewaterhouseCoopers became the first big accountancy firm to ban all male shortlists in order to help women break through that glass ceiling. Well, Professor Claire Ainsley heads up equality policy at the University of Sussex, and she says it's not the glass ceiling we should focus on. It's actually the concrete floor.
A concrete floor is a bare minimum of how many women or people from other disadvantaged or underrepresented groups are there. And what we found when we did some research on how to appoint more ministers into cabinets is that once a concrete floor is established, the number of women doesn't drop below that.
So you're saying we're looking at this essentially the wrong way around. We shouldn't be looking up, but down.
I think we have to make sure that we're bringing more women in. And once those women are in, to stop all the excuses for why it seems to be difficult to improve diversity in leadership teams.
So rejecting all male shortlists, not a bad thing, but not if you're only looking at the top jobs.
I think it's a really good way forward, but I think there's other things that you can do as well. When you are making recruitments, it's not one person in, one person out. What we found in when we looked at cabinets was whenever there's a new government, you're changing the whole team en masse. It creates this amazing opportunity to completely refresh the team.
You mentioned the study about women in cabinets and national politics. What did you find in that study?
For a very, very long time, women were being kept out of these positions. And then all of a sudden, the number of women seemed to really shoot up in Canada, in Chile, in Spain, and in Germany. And what we found was that one of the best predictors was whether or not a prime minister or a president made a pledge.
And you even found that in the US, say, with Bill Clinton, in the UK with David Cameron. But are these just quotas by another name? And does that pledge necessarily keep women in power?
I think a pledge is something quite different from quotas. I think the difference is that it's a promise that is owned by a particular individual. And you know exactly who is responsible for delivering on that change.
What about merit?
I think merit is a really, really problematic term. You know, this is 2018. There are tons and tons of talented women out there.
Professor Claire Ainslie on why you need a concrete floor to get women to even reach the glass ceiling. Finally, cryptocurrency has conquered a new territory. People in Kolyanovo, a Russian village, have swapped their rubles for a new digital currency, the kolyan. Paper money is now apparently a rare sight there. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.